So for all the important things we do, we organize, we have all these young guys helping, getting involved, we put on good food, we look after the kids, we do all those things, and we do them well. The toilets will be clean, the people will be friendly, mostly good looking, mostly. Just turn to the person next to you and say, you're looking all right today. And all those things are an important part of life, but the greatest part of life of all is the experience of God. And my role, this is what the Bible would call preaching, or just talking, or sharing, or bringing a message. I hate the word sermon, it sounds very religious. But bringing a message, and that's like God's chosen way of communicating His truth to people. I often watch stand-up comedians, not often, but some of them are pretty funny. And in a lot of cases, I'm convinced that their destiny, their calling was actually to bring good news. And because they're just confident in front of people and they know how to speak. And I could say this, I believe this, that in the years, months and years ahead, that we're going to see some people from that kind of entertainment world and the comedian world and all those kind of things have an encounter with God and meet Jesus and start to use their gifting and their ability to bring a good message and to change people's lives. In the next 15 minutes, my heart, my complete commitment, when I prepare last night and I go walking and talking with God, I'm very conscious that God is with me because He wants to communicate to you how valuable you are, how important you are, and for all the joy and the fun and the carols, and I love it, and the mince pies and the mulled wine and then the diets usually in January and all that stuff that goes on. There's one thing that's greater than all that, and that's God Himself and knowing God. And so I think on the overheads, Charlotte, I've got 4 points, but we're only going to get to three. Three simple points on what the real Christmas message is. And here's number one. God really likes people. When God sent Jesus, He did it because He really liked you. Now, we use the term, you know, God loves people, and that's true, absolutely. God loves you more than you realize. I don't know how your world works from week to week. I don't know. For most people, I think that if their parents, the love for their children would probably be the closest kind of sense they have to the highest level of love. But the love that God has for you is way higher than that. I mean, incomparable. The Bible actually says that there's this prayer in the New Testament. You know, we pray, we learn certain prayers. You know, our Father who art in heaven. And some of those are good. But then there's a whole lot of really good ones we haven't learned. And because often we've been religiously trained and we've assumed certain things are true, but actually when you look a little deeper at what we're talking about, they're not necessarily true and they're certainly not necessarily the focus. So my object is not to be deliberately controversial, though a little bit of controversy doesn't hurt from time to time. That was a joke there. Is that all right? Yeah? That's not my aim, but my aim is to bring the truth of the gospel as clearly as I possibly can to you. And I'm convinced of this, that the Christian church, that the people that God loves so much, and then the world that would oftentimes call themselves Christian by their behavioral standards, but may not be churchgoers, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of those people see certain things about Christmas and about God, and they don't actually realize what the real message is. The real message starts with this. God just really likes people. Here's this story in the beginning. Look at this. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Notice them. Male and female, He created them. Women, as much as men, were made in the image of God. And all the women said, absolutely the truth. And God blessed them. Everyone say, blessed. God made all this stuff. Like, I'm into nature. If you've heard me speak, I love trees. I plant big trees. I had a conversation with my neighbor Terry yesterday because one of my trees is encroaching over his garden and it's going to be quite a big tree. But thankfully it was deciduous, so at least in winter he gets the sun. And but I like trees. I love all those kind of David Attenborough shows and all that. I just think it's astounding what we are discovering. And most of what's out there, we don't know yet. Like 97% of what's in the oceans, we don't know yet. It's just staggering to think that. And God made all these amazing things, and then to top it all off, he made you and me. He made people. I mean, you know, you might like dogs, you might like dolphins, you might like monkeys, you might like, you know, arachnids, and that's cool. But you are made at a whole different level. There's nothing as magnificently made as people. That's the message. That's the foundation of Christmas. And then the angels kind of reinforce it. Remember them in the New Testament? There's Jesus about to appear, about to be born. We bring you, everyone say it, good news. See, not bad news. Not bad. I mean, a lot of churches, honestly, they might say, and I'm not kind of trying to rail against anybody, but the news is supposed to be good. You know, when you listen to good news, it kind of inspires you. You know, you go into your job interview at work, your end of year kind of, what do you call it, like a review, you know, and the person says to you, I've got good news. Well, what are they going to say? You've had a shocking year and you're getting demoted and your salary goes down. Now, good news is news that'll make you feel happy. But when you go into the boss and they say, well, I've got some bad news. See, and the news from God is supposed to be good news. It should lift people by definition. Are you with me? And you've got to be selective, people of God. You've got to, and people that are not of God, you've got to be selective about what you listen to. Just because somebody says, I'm a Christian, they may well be a Christian, but if they're not bringing good news, then there's something a little out of kilter with what God said we're supposed to bring. And you get to choose what you listen to. And what you are today is substantially created by what you've listened to over the course of your life. What you believe about yourself, which is what you live out of every day, has been created substantially by what you've listened to. And that's, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that. If you're in any kind of education, any kind of social care, like we're receiving an offering for these guys, when children have been brought up with abuse, or they've been brought up with a lack of affectionate love, or they have been brought up with a very stern set of rules, what they learnt and heard, even before they understood that what was happening, becomes a pattern in their life, and it's hard work. It can be done, but it's hard work to change how you innately feel when you've, you know, in your 20s, 30s, 40s and beyond, when you've been brought up a certain way. That's why the Bible is so clear on how we ought to bring up kids. It's really clear on those kind of things. Because in the first 5 years, and I did primary education, I know a little bit about it, but certainly they know without doubt, in the first 5 years, children learn more than they're going to learn the whole rest of their lives. That's just a fact. Jesuit priests knew the same thing. They used to say, give me a child until he's seven, and I'll show you the man. And so whatever you've been brought up with, which could be a mix of things, but in a Christian home, ideally, should be very positive, very uplifting, very believing, very trusting, very miraculous, very good, very positive, good news kind of stuff. That'll impact the way the person grows. And so we get to choose what we listen to. And if you feel like I'd like my life to change some, if you feel like my life is fine, I don't need it to change, then that's great. I can't help you though, because I'm here to change your life and improve it. But if you're happy with where you're at, that's okay. I still love you. Won't change me. But if you want your life to improve or change, you're going to have to change what you listen to. Because if you keep listening to, and that's not just outside voices, that's inside voice as well. If you keep getting up in the morning saying, this is going to be a tough day. If you keep getting up in the morning saying, I don't like my job. There just never seems to be enough money. Look in the mirror. Oh, I'm looking older. I'm looking more wrinkly. I don't like this. I don't like that. And all we do is focus on, and you're speaking to yourself, reinforcing all these things you don't like. And then you come into the house of God, and hopefully in a place like this, you get inspired and you get lifted and you get told things that build you up. But you've actually got to develop a lifestyle of hearing those kind of things. That's why we do e-thoughts and podcasts and Bible teaching and connect group and all those kinds of things, because actually what God wants to do is lift you into a great level of life. God really likes people. We bring you good news of great joy for all people. It's good news. So question, look into your life and think about what you listen to. Don't be too gullible. Don't just accept everything that's thrown down. I believe in sincerity. I believe in being a genuine person. And I think if you hear me speak and you meet me, you can probably tell that's what I am. But I remember as a younger leader in Australia, I remember one minister saying a funny thing. He said, look, sincerity is what it's all about. If you can fake that, you've got it made. And the truth is, you see, that you can be sincere, but you can also be sincerely wrong. Just because people are sincere and genuine doesn't mean they've got an angle on the truth. There were a whole lot of prophets of Baal in the Old Testament. There was a guy called Elijah. He was trusting in God. There were all these prophets, 450 of them, trusting in Baal. They were very sincere. They were so sincere, they were cutting themselves, trying to get Baal to consume this offering by fire. And so sincerity is not a proof of truth. You've been given a tremendous opportunity in this life to choose what you're going to do, to choose where you're going to go, to choose what you're going to believe. And God's not nervous about you making choices. So the first message of Christmas is this: God really likes, he doesn't just love you, he likes you. He likes hanging around with you. The focus of Christmas is God reaches out to send someone to you, not because he thought you were sinful, not because he saw all your mistakes and your weaknesses, but because he just really liked you and he thought, I want to do something for you. In the same way that you do for children, when we have Christmas and you buy them a gift, unless there's something kind of twisted in your thinking, you buy them a gift and they don't have to be perfect, you just love them. And you're finding an excuse almost to overlook some of the naughty little things because you really want to bless them. Well, God is like that, but like a thousandfold. He just has no problem with people. They're the apple of his eye. Every morning you get up, God is there smiling, can't wait to see you. I know last night you might have gone to bed mad. You might have gone to bed drunk. Some of you, I know, I know, of course, nobody here would ever happen, I'm sure. Absolutely. And I know, and you might have said a naughty word. You might have harbored some hatred in your heart for people and got really angry. But when you get up in the morning, God's just there. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. He's just full of mercy. He's just full of grace. He loves you. The second thing about Christmas, the real Christmas message, is God has deep compassion and feeling for people. He just cares so much for people. And I remember, there's a verse here in the Bible, this one here, Mark 10:21. Jesus is talking to a guy who he was inviting to come and be a disciple, and the guy just wouldn't do it. So if you've ever been a leader in the Christian church and you've ever discovered that you see these people and they've got so much potential and you think, but you can't make choices for people. And this is the rich young ruler, they called him. And he just wouldn't, he felt like he couldn't, but ultimately he wouldn't. And instead of Jesus being all mad at him, you don't know the opportunity you've missed. If you'd just been more obedient, son, you could have entered into the great things of God for your life. And that kind of hard line attitude, which is often seen as commensurate with what God is like. But Jesus looks at this guy and says, he looked at him, and he loved him. And that's what he's like with you. He just looks at you and he loves you. 1 Peter 5:7 in this Moffat version says that God's great interest is in you. See, we're made in the image of God. If we're in a reasonably healthy state of mind and heart, then when we see people in need, we try and help them. When we see people without, unless we're in an unhealthy place, we want to try and help people and lift their lives. Well, God's like that, but just 1,000 times over. He doesn't look at you and see all the problems. You see someone out there sleeping on the street, and I'm talking to one of the minister friends we have in Staines about how we can help people that are sleeping on the street in through January and February. We've got a little plan we're trying to get, and so you could pray into how we can be more effective into in our community, because it's very important. And it's becoming more and more an issue on my heart, is how we actually practically help people. But you can see somebody out there sleeping in a street, and you can say, well, you know, probably he's drunk too much, yeah. Probably he's got resentment or her attitude problems. Probably there's drugs involved, all probably true. Probably it's his own fault, her own fault, you know. And you could argue that that's probably true. At the end of the day, we are substantially responsible for where we finish in life. There's no point in blaming everybody else for your lot in life. You see, but having that attitude towards someone that's broken or hurting isn't going to help. When you realize that it's God's goodness to you that you have what you have, and that you may not have as much as someone down the street, but you've got enough to help somebody else. And if you've got any tenderness and kindness in your heart, then when you see someone, you know, cold and shivering and without clothes and without food, you may be able to conclude that it's their fault, and you don't know exactly all the details, but certainly people's decisions play a part in it. But you would be considered fairly heartless if you weren't prepared to do something to help. Well, God's like that, but just 1,000 times over. He looks at you, and you might have fallen apart in this, you might have done that wrong, and you might have thought that wrong, and you might have, and some of you might sit here and say, well, I know God wanted me to do this. And God's just, he's not angry at you. He's full of compassion and love for you. One of the stories that moves me the most about that is and I know a few stories about this, you know, but I remember John G. Lake. He's one of my heroes. I'm rereading some of his stuff. And he was a Canadian guy that served God, kind of did what I did, I guess, spoke and laid hands on a lot of people and got them healed. And he was very famous for that whole healing area of his ministry in the U.S. in a town called, or a city called Spokane. And he ran it kind of a local church. But really, mostly what he did, they had this big building. And he didn't buy a building. He said, I don't believe in spending money on that. I'm going to spend money on the people. So, you know, whilst it's fine to get a building, he it's not the be-all and end-all. The people are the be-all and the end-all. And so he'd rent this building, and they would offer, and he trained maybe 12, 15, maybe 20 people, something like that, to help him over the years to pray for people and to read the Bible to them in a way that was living, kind of like what I'm saying, what I'm telling you is Bible, but it might be a little different to the way you've heard it before. Might be shaped so that it actually is meaningful to you, which is the point. And so he did that, and they saw about 60 people every day get healed from diseases where they would go to the doctor and have it certified medically. And that was that. So that works out to be 100,000 people in 5 years. I think that's right, 100,000, wasn't it? Do you remember? 100,000. I think I did the maths. And so the nation of America voted this city, Spokane in Washington, in the northwest of America, as the healthiest city in the U.S. And that was really down to one guy. And so we hear those stories. Now, they ministered to a couple of hundred people a day, and about 60 people a day got healed. And you could say, you know, well, what about this guy? For every person that gets healed, there are going to be some people that didn't, and it's heartbreaking. But the important thing that I want you to catch is the heart of God for people. See, John Lake, when you read his books, he says, I'm excited about the healing. I'm excited. But he said, what I'm mostly excited about is how God seems to have done something in my heart where I have such a depth of love for people. And that's what Christmas is about. That's how God feels. The closer somebody walks to God, the more love you're going to find flowing out of them to you. Because that's what God feels for people. I know people that can quote the Bible very well, maybe better than me. I'm not too bad, but it's not really my goal in life. I'd rather be able to love and heal broken people and not be able to quote all the Bible than be able to quote all this stuff and people not come into my presence or my house or my family and feel like that guy really cares. There's something about. And that's not because I'm so great. That's just because I'm connected to God and I've discovered that's what he's like. One of the best stories I ever heard when I'm reading John G. Lake, you know, you hear these stories, you think, yeah, that's awesome. Let's just get people healed. Let's pray for them. But the reality of what happens, you see, he talked about one lady he was praying for who's dying of cancer and she's emaciated and she's on a deathbed. And they don't go in and pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then let's just see what God does. He's in there for hours, 8 o'clock in the night, 9 o'clock in the night, 10 o'clock in the night, 11, like 6 hours or thereabouts, don't quote me exactly, but hours and hours, 2 o'clock in the morning, there's still no change. She's still in pain, not healed. But he hasn't slept for over 24 hours. He's feeling very tired. And so he just kind of comes to the point where he says, I've just got to get a few hours sleep before tomorrow. So he walks home in Spokane, Washington, goes out 2 o'clock in the morning, no one's there. And as he's walking 100 yards or so from this house where she is, he hears her screaming in pain because the pain hasn't stopped for all this prayer. And he can't help himself, tired as he is. He turns around, walks back in, picks up the lady on the bed and just cries out to God, and then she gets healed. And the healing is wonderful. But maybe what's more wonderful is the depth of love and compassion that he felt for people. And that just comes from God. That's what he's like. Here's the last thing, and then I'm closing here. The last thing, the amazing thing about Christmas, God likes you. God has deep compassion for you. When he looks at you, all he sees is incredible potential. You look at the things you feel like are just so important, and I haven't done that, and I haven't paid my bill, and I'm not good at getting up in the morning, and I should have finished my degree, but I didn't, and I haven't talked to my neighbor for a while, and my sister and my cousin, and all those things. And you hard on yourself. God is not so hard on you. God is full of compassion for people. Deep compassion. He looks at them and he loves them. Even when they don't do what he wants, he looks at them and he loves them. And the most astounding thing about Christmas, this message, he reached out to us. He sent Jesus for us. He didn't do that to highlight anything wrong. He did that to highlight how precious you are to him. Don't forget that. That's the real Christmas message. And then the simplest thing of all is this. There's nothing to do but believe. Jesus said this, all things are possible if you'll just believe. You don't have to change any of your attitudes, any of your behaviors to get to receive what God has for you. He sent Jesus with the intention that you would connect with God. That he doesn't want you to be remote from him. He wants you to be part of the family. He sees every person. He made every person. He sees all your dreams. And it sounds trite to some, I know. But the purpose, the plan, the life that you could live, you see, I hope you have visions. I hope you have dreams. I hope you want to live a great life. But let me tell you that God's dream for your life is going to be higher than any dream you have and more beautiful than anything you've imagined. That's the message of Christmas. And in order for that, for us to receive that, the only thing you got to do is believe. Your behavior doesn't have to change. Oh, I've got to stop worrying. Yeah, well, don't worry about that. Yeah, well, I've just got to stop swearing. Yeah, don't worry about that. Yeah, well, I've just got to stop sleeping around. Don't worry about that. I mean, I'm not condoning that as behavior. You know, just for those who want to misquote me. But don't. But the issue is, he loves you in whatever situation you're in. And maybe you feel a bit down on yourself and a bit like frustrated. That's what a lot of people feel, is frustrated that they aren't all that they could be, and they're trying to. All you got to do is believe. Believe what? That he loves you. That he values you. That he has deep feeling for you. That he believes in you. That's the message of Christmas. That's why it's good news of great joy. I'm going to ask Sam Yamua to come and just play a couple of chords, and we're just going to take 1 or 2 minutes to finish here. Then we're going to go upstairs. But I'd love it if you would just close your eyes for me, because I've done my best, and I'm like you. You know, I do my best, and every time I speak and preach, I think, I could have done that better. Wish I'd done that different. Oh, that's just part of life. You just keep growing. You just keep getting better. But I'd love it if every eye could be closed here and every head bowed, because much as I tried to do my best, I know this, that I'm speaking the best I can on behalf of a very real, very living God. That Jesus is not a figment of our imagination, that he really did live, that he really did be sent to us, that he really did die for us, and that I don't need to come to his defense to prove who he is. Whilst we sit here, if you just will give God about a minute of focused attention and just say in your heart, you know, God, that makes sense to me. That is real to me. And there is something that man is talking about that connects with my heart. It's just, I get it. And if that's what the good news is, and if I'm going to be encouraged to believe good things about myself instead of bad things about myself, for some people that's very uncomfortable. But I'm telling you, life works better that way. It's not just positive mental affirmation. It's the gospel. It's the good news. So whilst every eye is closed, just every eye is closed, just God, give God. And I am sure, as I sit here, that for many of us, our hearts are touched. Not because of some special speech, but because the person I'm talking about is real and he really loves you. And it is true. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, you know, I'm willing to take a step. I'm willing to give this God a shot. I don't get everything. I don't understand everything. I don't get why there are religious wars. But all I know is, as I'm sitting here, something is going on inside me, and this God this guy is talking about, this whole Christmas thing, somehow it makes sense. I'd like to respond. I'd like to say yes to God. I'd like to reach out of my heart and connect with him. And I'm going to ask you to do something really simple, and it is personal. It's an important, but it's also significant, and you need help in walking with God. So what I'm going to ask you to do, if that's you, you're sitting here and you know that's you, in just a moment, while all these eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and kind of wave it at me so that I can see it. I'll acknowledge it. You can put it down again, and then we'll finish the service. God bless you. That's awesome. Someone's already raising their hand. It's just awesome. And then as people go upstairs, and we're having our coffee and our tea and whatever, I'm going to be sitting here at the front, and I want you just to come up and meet me, and I want to introduce myself, and I want to pray a really simple prayer and help you to go forward and to discover the incredible love and compassion. So if that's you, you're sitting here, all eyes closed, please, just out of respect for other people. And you say, yeah, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to put some trust in God. Because at the end of the day, believing is taking a step. And there's no such thing. Faith means that you can't see it all. Faith, there's always going to be an element of risk, if you like, of stretching, of getting out of your comfort zone. That's that internal wrestle that goes on. But for every person here that says, yeah, I'm going for it. I want to know this God. I want to take a step in that direction. I'd like to meet you and just pray with you briefly. If that's you, all these eyes are closed. Quickly, just slip up your hand so that I can see it. God bless you. That's awesome. You can put your hand down. Just wave it just until I acknowledge it. Is that you too, ma'am? Am I going to pray with you? Is that right? Did you put your hand up? Anyone else here at all? That's wonderful. Just slip it up real quick. I won't take a moment to do that, because you're not doing it for me. You're not doing it to impress anybody. I just want to give you an opportunity to connect with God. So if that's you, that's fantastic. You can put your hands down again. Thanks so much. Awesome. Let's stand together, folks.